fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger, unafraid, right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution, revolution, radio!
Are you coming to the train, led by a man who wants to break the chains? Establishment is terrified, they can't control his reign. Let's meet this year on the Trump train. Are you coming to the train, where brave men called out for a wall built by crane? Media is terrified, they can't control his reign. Let's meet this year on the Trump train. Are you coming to the train, where brave men called out the fools who lead in vain? Lobbyists are terrified, they can't control our reign. Let's meet this year on the Trump train. Are you coming to the train? Wear a hat of hope, side by side with me. Make America great again, break the chains. Let's meet this year on the Trump train.
And we are going to be respected by the world again and not laughed at like we're all a bunch of stupid people being led by incompetent politicians. It's not going to go on any longer.
Are you coming to the train to take our great country back again? Join the revolution, break the chains. Let's meet this year on a Trump train.
We're going to win at the borders. We're going to win, and we're going to keep winning. And we are going to make America great again, greater than ever before. Greater than ever before.
January 28th, 2024. This is Dr. Johnny, and let's keep the truth alive. And please be generous with your contribution to freedomslips.org Revolution Radio, the best radio network on the internet. Dr. Johnny gives every month through the Patreon account that I started, and you can set one up too. Just set one up and automatically donate $5 or more per month. It's so easy. So get a Patreon account today right on freedomslips.org to keep Dr. Johnny on the air. And if you don't donate to Revolution Radio, please give a generous donation to Dr. Johnny. All the hosts do not get paid, and we have really been working hard to bring you the truth and the news you can use, so you can have a better life for you and your family. You are now connected to the Master Survivor Beyond PhD Command Center, where Dr. Johnny with a bald eagle eye is keeping a vigilant watch on Washington, D.C., our country, and our solar system. That's right. You are now listening to the Master Survivor, bringing you the truth about our world and providing the tools to help you survive and thrive. I'm your host, Johnny Delirious, laboratory naturopathic doctor, best-selling author, master survivor, and virus recovery expert. Folks, anybody that's ever been to the Lone Star State knows that as soon as you step foot into this territory, you probably hear a very familiar phrase. It's called, "Don't mess with Texas." A white hat convoy carrying crates of rifles and spools of razor wire arrived at Eagle Pass, Texas, Friday afternoon to support the Texas National Guard in its regional border dispute with unlawful federal forces from the crooked Biden regime, my source, General Eric Smith's office, revealed. General Eric Smith and the White Hat Council approved the rapid deployment as a measured response to the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling that allows federal border protection agents to remove concertina wire laden across the Rio Grande to prevent would-be illegals and terrorists from setting foot on Texas soil. The court's decision, 5-4, challenges whether Texas has sovereignty to safeguard its citizens against the migrant tidal wave crashing against its proverbial shore. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has accused the Biden regime of breaking its compact with Texas because it views every illegal as a lifelong Democrat, and he has labeled the migration surge as an invasion. Although the court's ruling grants border protection permission to cut down razor wire near Shelby Park, a city-owned public park in the border town of Eagle Pass, and an ingress route to the U.S., does not prevent the Texas National Guard from unspooling fresh razor wire, which is ongoing and is done at right now at record pace. The escalation has sparked several standoffs between Texas National Guard and what White Hats have called the Biden cabal's Gestapo. The confrontation has raised the specter of an all-out civil war, with 26 states' governors in the United States pledging to support Governor Abbott's refutation of the federal law. General Smith's office spoke with Governor Abbott immediately following the court's deliberate misinterpretation of federal law. And I quote, the general told Governor Abbott he could muster forces and have trucks ready to roll in 24 hours, said General Smith. Texas has helped us in the past, and we're not going to let you down. We're not going to leave Abbott hanging, he said, and he'll welcome us with open arms, according to my source. My source wouldn't enumerate about the number of men sent to Texas, but he said that the task force includes Marines and U.S. Army Rangers. He mentioned hundreds of spools of wire and 50 feet long, hence an armada ready to reckon with the federal goons if push comes to shove. He said the task force will be embedded in and wear the uniforms of the Texas National Guard to show solidarity. According to General Smith's office and my source, he says our goal is to gently convince border services to uphold, not violate, their constitutional oath. We hope they will heed that advice. We're not in this for bloodshed, said General Smith, but we're not shy about confronting federal forces, a fact we've proven time and time again. Most people around the U.S. are not sure what's going on the border. Millions of people have been pouring over our wide open borders, and this has created a crisis of epic proportions. What most Americans don't realize is these NGOs, that's non-governmental organizations, like funded by George Soros, that are funded with your taxpayer dollars or George Soros, because they're helping fund these non-government organizations to help the migrants travel to our border from all over the world. Once they get across, they are bussed off to settle in different parts of the United States. Once they are processed at the border, billions of your taxpayer dollars are being used to resettle them in communities all across America. This is a fact. This is not conspiracy theory at all. This is a fact. It's not just buses, but even Delta Airlines has pitched in to give them free travel. If they show up at a Delta ticket counter and they don't really have all their IDs in place because, hey, TSA just let them go through, you know, and they just go, you know, passenger X says on the boarding pass. So they go right in, they flown right out by Delta Airlines, and, of course, our taxpayer dollars are helping fund this. Now, let's talk about your taxpayer dollars and how they're being used. One U.S. federal government agency spent $20 billion in 2022 and 2023 on refugee resettlement as the number of migrants entering the country reached record levels. The nonprofit Open the Books organization released a report that found the U.S. Agency Office of Refugee Resettlements spent the money as the number of migrant encounters at the border reached 2.5 million in 2023. The Office of Refugee Resettlement spent $8.9 billion, that's with a B, in the fiscal year of 2022, and $10.9 billion, that's with a B, in fiscal year 2023. That's your taxpayer dollars, folks. All according to Open the Books report. So this is proof. While we're so worried about wearing a mask and getting the COVID jab, they spent upwards of over $20 billion in 2021, 2023, and, you know, from then, 2021 to 2023. I don't even have the records and words to describe how massive this crisis is, and our own money is being used to fund it. And once they arrive in communities all over the nation, new arrivals are overwhelming systems that we as legal citizens all depend on. For example, in Colorado, Denver, to be precise, Denver Health has been losing millions upon millions of dollars because so many migrants are using health services that they cannot pay. So a lot of, you know, if they're, you know, needing these services, they're let right in. Regular citizens may have to wait, especially if you're a MAGA or a Christian or something like that. And believe me, they know the difference between an illegal alien and a MAGA or Christian patriot. And illegal aliens get first service. And Denver Health CEO Donna Lane warned the center is in a critical moment due to the unexpected costs associated with the immigrant visits, she said. What I think is not being said here is Denver Health is at the critical point, and we need to take this up in 2024, Lynn told the Denver City Council, according to the Denver Post. 8,000 migrants from Central America accounted for approximately 20,000 visits in 2023. Denver Health asked for the Federal Emergency Management Association, FEMA, to provide funds, which they did, because this is for illegal immigrants, for the immigrants and medical costs. Again, they would be spending our taxpayer dollars. But in this case, the state and federal governments aren't reimbursing the hospital, which spent $136 million for patients who didn't pay, mostly illegals. There are hundreds of millions of people all over the globe that would love to relocate here in the United States, but we simply do not have the resources to support them all. Those who that wish to live in the United States are supposed to go through the legal system of immigration. This is how it's supposed to work. But instead, the Biden administration is given a green light and left the back door completely open, and now millions of desperate people are pouring into this country. And as soon as summer is here, you mark my words, Dr. Johnny's here to warn you, when the warm weather comes, riots will crank up all over the cities. The riots will crank up as soon as the weather gets warm. The stage is being set for unprecedented chaos in major cities, and our federal government will not be able to control it, and they don't want to. They want it to go out of control. This is all the Obama plan. The deep state is doing everything they can to get rid of Donald Trump because he's standing in the way. The assassination attempts, the smear campaigns, and now the crooked New York court jury ruled that Trump would have to pay $83 million in defamation lawsuit, and the judge would not even allow Trump's attorney to present the evidence to the jury. That is guilty without a defense. It does not get any more crooked than that. Trump's attorney, Elena Haba, goes scorched earth before the cameras when she said to the reporters, "Don't get it twisted," she yelled. "Before I walked in the court, that judge decided that every single defense Donald Trump had, we were not allowed to raise and use in front of the jury." And she cited all of the evidence right there before the cameras at the press conference for the reporters. She showed what the proof was, and Trump was not allowed to show it when he took the stand. And she also said, "We will immediately repeal, we will set aside that ridiculous jury. It will not deter us. We'll keep fighting, and I assure you, we didn't win today, but we will win." So many people get pulled into criticizing Donald Trump quickly, and they quickly forget that if it wasn't for him, he's standing in the way. He's the ultimate canary in the coal mine. Once they get him, they're coming after you. Once they get all the MAGA and Christians and, you know, all the blacks and Latinos, then they're going to come after the Democrats who don't participate. I kid you not. You see Obama and Soros controlling the courts and the justice system and think they can twist justice with their crooked judges and get their way to get rid of Trump, the patriots and the Christians, and have their, so they can have their transgender society. See, if you're not going to go transgender and you're a Democrat, they'll get rid of you too. But it's not going to work. The white hats are on the prowl and to hunt down these crooked traitors. United States Delta Force last Thursday brazenly arrested U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia in Breckenridge, Colorado, charging the odious deep stater with treason for unlawfully prosecuting January 6ers, J6ers, and sentencing them to periods of incarceration, my source in Eric Smith's office revealed. Although the criminal Merrick Garland was the regime's front man in the government's illegal and unprecedented operation to identify and prosecute peaceful patriotic citizens who visited the People's House on January 6th, it was Matthew Graves, a name scarcely mentioned by the MSM, but he put in the lead work for the most despicable miscarriage of justice in the history of justice prudence. A Biden appointee, Matthew Graves, gravel strikes have imprisoned the innocent and forced once hardworking families into poverty. From the safety of his courtroom bench, guarded by throngs of D.C. police and FBI and U.S. Marshals, Graves had personally dispensed 1,400 man years of incarceration, according to the case file shown. White Hats had designs on grabbing Graves almost immediately after he brought charges against the 13 protesters in the late January 2021. But days later, Graves announced that his FBI was hunting down an additional 150 suspects that he indicated that if he saw something and they say something campaign, imploring the public to share tips and leads to his Gestapo-style police. You know, if you saw something and say something and know who it is, then you become a snitch, then you'll be rewarded. This is the Obama snitch squad. Simultaneously, FBI spokesman Stephen DeAndro said the Bureau expected to snare several thousand rioters in the coming months and charge them with treason and insurrection. Graves and the FBI were quick to label the protesters as militants, extremists, MAGA, and fringe crazies, cited connections to legally formed movements such as Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, Three Percenters, and the Patriot Front. Graves' message was unambiguously clear. He considered them domestic terrorists. That's how they were classified. Along with civilians, active duty and retired military were also caught in the deep state federal dragnet. In mid-March of 2021, federal agents brandished automatic weapons and swarmed the home of retired gunnery sergeant Thomas Tidwell, U.S. Marine retired. They held the 63-year-old devil dog at gunpoint and purportedly without memorizing, you know, you have the right to remain silent, without even memorizing him or showing him a warrant, they just simply handcuffed him and violated all his Fourth Amendment by ransacking his home and stealing his personal property. Tidwell has been at the Capitol Six. He has been at the Capitol at J6 to oppose Mike Pence's unlawful counting of the Election College votes and to video the event for historical purposes. He hadn't even set foot inside the Capitol building. He was just wandering the grounds. But Tidwell is among the 73 active duty and retired military to be indicted on this J6 related crimes. While detail on each civilian and military arrest is beyond the scope of my report today, but Dr. Johnny will tell you right now, White Hats claimed that Graves secretly prosecuted six active duty military, meaning no public mention of their cases exists. So this is criminal dark justice, all in the dark. No record, no mention, no calling of their families, no nothing. They simply just disappeared. Six active duty military simply disappeared thanks to Graves and the fraudulent FBI. In any event, it is the White Hat's military contention that Graves, having been appointed by an illegitimate president, was himself illegitimate in the eyes of White Hats. No constitutionally recognized authority had elevated Graves from assistant district attorney to district attorney, thus invalidating his position. White Hats also said that because Graves' activist wife, Fatima Gross Graves, had personal ties with Jill Biden, Kamala Harris, she's buddy-buddy with both of them and Democratic lawmakers and cabinet officials, Graves had an undeniable conflict of interest. Fatima Gross Graves has been long penned for reforming the Supreme Court, filling it all with liberals and unrestricted access to abortion, and she's played a role in helping people get abortions, and she's played a critical role in advancing the priorities of Democrats and the Biden cabal. As for Graves, her husband, White Hat said that waiting for a practical opportunity to arrest him and not cause excessive collateral damage required considerable patience, 3 years of it, and conflict within the white hat community. You got to get him. You got to get him. But they didn't want to see. They're stealthy. The white hats are stealthy. They don't want to raise any public suspicion or witnesses or cameras or anything like that. But in April 2021, General David H. Berger, General Smith's predecessor, rejected the proposal to storm a D.C. courthouse and drag the handcuffed traitor kicking and screaming into the streets. A recommendation from a few of the White Hat Council, more hawkish members, wanted to do that. General Berger refused, and he argued that the rash proposal would imperil too many innocent lives. We don't want bloodshed. I can't wade knee-deep in internal discussions, but General Berger felt mounting a military strike to capture one man would end up with a lot of people getting needlessly killed, and he was so right. Some of them could be innocent, and others are just naive. Graves was pretty much amongst the most protected men in the deep state. Literally hundreds of feds and officers in and around his court guarded his house, his personal residence, etc., everywhere he went. Just because someone is a Fed doesn't mean they're corrupt. And many of these guys are young, naive, and just following orders, and they don't comprehend the evil they're working for. Our job is bringing criminals to justice, not creating mass carnage. General Berger more or less said it wasn't time for the storm, and arguments now and then, right or wrong, have plagued General Smith's tenure, but nevertheless guaranteed his resolve to drain the swamp and restore the republic. Beginning in late 2023, White Hats detected alterations in Graves' daily routines. He gradually reduced his personnel protection detail, his public appearances from speaking engagements and trips to grocery stores became more frequent. Though still guarded by an armed entourage, time apparently has had taken its course and bred more complacency. And then on October 17, 2023, the White Hats at the U.S. Army Cyber Command, monitoring Graves' digital footsteps, learned that how he booked a four-day trip to Breckenridge, Colorado, popular for its wintertime ski activities for mid-January 2024. He had bought two extra first-class airline tickets, the names of which belonged to a pair of officers of the U.S. Marshals Service. Unless he canceled the trip, he would be in Breckenridge between January 15th and January 19th. Upon hearing about Graves' excursion, General Smith spoke with White Hat colleagues in the U.S. Army Special Operations Command, and they decided that the Army Special Mission Unit had the best chance of encountering the Alpine City and blending in with hordes of parka-clad, scarf-wearing tourists without drawing unwanted attention or tipping their hat. They arrived in Breckenridge ahead of Graves and appraised their surroundings. They established surveillance on his Mountain View Hotel and tried to predict where they might grab him while attracting the least amount of attention or none at all. While Graves and his armed escort arrived at the resort and waited for a valet to park the car, which Graves had rented in Denver, Delta Force operators were spying on him, and from afar through binoculars and standing 3 feet from him, he looked like a quintessential tourist of means. He donned, Bally, Canadian Goose parka, $1,500 jacket, a knit cap, a Gore-Tex gloves and boots, all set for the slopes. His escorts wore similar garb. With a four-day window to execute their plan, Delta Force used the first few days tailing Graves to study his movement to and from the hotel. They ruled out a hotel room abduction because the three men shared the same suite and because the hotel's hallways, restaurant, and bars were all connected and teeming with tourists around the clock. To top it off, security cameras cover nearly every square foot of the building's interior and parking lots. Delta Force soon discovered that while Graves had a quirky attraction to the slopes, he was perhaps the most unconditioned and unskilled skier in human history. He struggled to fix his skis, you know, beginning on the trail, on the beginner trail on top of the lift, and he was clumsy, you know, and face first in the powder on his first go around. Rather than admit his ineptitude, he scolded one of his escorts for renting the wrong size skis. Still, he donned around the trails, envious of young children whom skiing seems second nature. "Stupid damn kids," Delta Force overheard him saying. On Thursday evening, Delta Force made its move. Graves and his guards had left a downtown restaurant and were strolling to their vehicle while Delta flanked them and fired paralyzing darts into the guard's exposing face. By the time Graves screamed for help and futilely tried to unlock his cell phone, with gloved hands, his escorts had hit the ground, and he, too, had been injected with a tranquilizing agent. Delta Force left the marshals where they were lying and put Graves in the SUV for a car ride to Denver and an eventual ride to Guantanamo Bay. "We consider this a major arrest," my source said. Asked what Graves' arrest means for wrongful convicted patriots, he said, "Obviously Merrick Garland is still at large. Their house is collapsing, and look, no one likes what's happened to the J6ers, but soon they will be free." When I asked why Graves' wife is still free, he added, "I can't comment on active investigations. However, we did get John Kelly, and we hung Alfred Johnson." So, folks, let me tell you, the bankers are forming their own coalition, separate from the Satanists. Jamie Dimon, CEO of the world's number one bank, J.P. Morgan Chase, tells the world at Davos World Economic Forum Globalist Gathering that during an interview on CNBC Live, he said Trump was right. I kid you not, right in front of the crowd, because, see, he's a big World Economic Forum guy, been going for years. But like I said, the bankers have switched sides. They've left the Satanists. They're now joining Trump. And Damon stood up for the MAGA Trump supporters and confirmed Trump's assessment on NATO being dissolved was right. Jamie also praised Donald Trump's position on the economy, taxes, and immigration right there on stage at World Economic Forum. And he says, and I quote, "He was kind of right about NATO pulling funding, kind of right about immigration. He grew the economy quite well, Jamie Dimon said, CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase, right there before the World Economic Forum. And he said trade tax reform worked under Trump. He was right about China. Why did Jamie Dimon suddenly change his position on Trump? Directly at the Cabal Globalist Davos gathering? Well, here's what's happening. Damon publicly gave the deep state military comms at Davos, and the CNBC publicly gave him basically what's really happening, because he knows the deep state military, NATO, CIA, MI6, Mossad, and CCP, and the globalist elites are all watching, and he knows they're all going down. His message is very important inside the deep state intelligence community, and as his message sent out was, the deep state military operations cabal to bring down Donald Trump will fail. No matter what happens to Trump in the next few months, Trump will prevail. But deep state and military white hats assessment and gaming have predicted this same outcome for a long time. If you've been following my show in the past few years, you know this was always the outcome of the White Hat Alliance military operations. Dimon of J.P. Morgan, the CIA, Mossad, MI6, Rockefellers, and Rothschilds, and Davos had all planned to assassinate Donald Trump. The White Hats also had game theory operations that were connected to the same event, but with different outcomes, leading to the real exposure of the CIA assassination attempt. That's why the JFK saga declassification has begun and continues, you know, because CIA assassinated JFK. The real CIA plot to assassinate JFK is going to be released and will connect all the dots, and obviously military coup with multiple assassination attempts on Donald Trump. Much is happening behind the scenes. Jamie Dimon has become a mole and forced to play the part by the White Hats. He says, no, I'm your man, I'll do it. All this comes after the military took control of Dimon's J.P. Morgan Chase Bank. I'm serious. While uncovering the bank's involvement with Epstein, and the Epstein saga is massive and connects the White Hats. The White Hats using intelligence operation to control Dimon and J.P. Morgan Chase, even as Trump prepares for the military intervention and open operations, the 11.3 laws of war and arrest wars that will result in military tribunals publicly. They will be start to be seen in public soon. At the same time, White Hat Alliance is ensuring Obama, the CIA, Rockefellers, and other global elites will also initiate a military coup and try to remove the control of military from Trump. This is an open military coup happening right now as we speak in the public sector as Democrat National Committee weak generals and globalists try to create a new U.S. laws to wrestle the military power away from the true Commander-in-Chief, Donald J. Trump. They are aware he currently holds the office of Commander-in-Chief and is playing the role of a wartime president. Everything is leading up to the exposure of a military-type coup involving JFK's assassination, the 9/11 attack, and initiation of the Patriot Act, past stolen elections using combinations of U.S. and deep state intelligence services and agencies, social media, and corrupt courts, and bringing it all up into a current coup and corruption lawfare being directed against Trump, plus any ongoing future coups that still are being planned. All these events must happen. The military is ensuring prosecution inside of the military tribunals, which is ongoing. I give a report about tribunals on every show for the past 4 years. Jamie Dimon, CEO of J.P. Morgan, all the deep state intelligence operators, since he helped create the Data Corps and brought DataCorp into power in the 1990s, Dimon, the CIA, military industrial complex, plus DARPA, all created DataCorp and sold U.S. intelligence, weapons plans, and military operations to the CCP, to Russia, and the Middle East for financial gain and blackmail operations and networks. Later on, Dimon was placed over J.P. Morgan, the world's largest bank, that helped Epstein conduct a massive money laundering operations and more to it, a big human trafficking and pedophilia ring. Now Dimon's in panic and trying to warn the deep state cabal to open up the communications with the military because they have everything and Trump is coming after him. Panic, panic. Davos, Switzerland is happening all over the place. In the Davos meeting a few weeks ago, the deep state are playing their final cards in 2024 and are destined to fail after the nuclear scare events and blackouts, all these false flag events they're going to pull. The next health emergency of planetary scope is a matter of when, not if, proclaimed Tedros Ghebreyesus, the Director General of the World Health Organization in Davos last week. He came on stage saying we're going to launch this new pathogen, it's going to be Syndrome X. According to the WHO, World Health Organization, the pathogens that could come about in this next pandemic that they call Syndrome X could be SARS, could be MERS, could be Zika, could be Ebola. The participants at the World Economic Forum's panel discussion discussed to focus the so-called Disease X, which is unknown, but could happen at any time, as described by Tedros. The WHO, the World Economic Forum, has already estimated disease X will be 20 times deadlier than the COVID, according to the original description of the session. Such a devastating future emergency would certainly require global cooperation and participation, as the participants agreed. Tedros, one of the keynote speakers, opened his remarks by clarifying that the concept of disease X, describing it as a placeholder, you know, they don't know what disease X is because they haven't decided which they have ready yet. Okay, so disease X is a placeholder definition for a yet unknown disease that could be caused by a yet unknown hypothetical pathogen. He reminded the audience that WHO first came up with the definition back in 2018 by putting disease X on the short list of prioritizing diseases and pathogens with the strongest potential to cause a global health emergency. In this sense, COVID-19, the first disease X, we were preparing for a COVID-like disease since 2018, confessed Tedros, and in an apparent attempt to explain the ineffectiveness of these preparations, the WHO chief reiterated the falsehood of overwhelming hospitals short on staff, space, and resources, which allegedly resulted in the loss of many people, while also criticizing Western countries for failing to invest in basic primary care while prioritizing cutting-edge technologies such as robotic surgeries. Tedros further stressed that the preparations for disease X are based on the lessons learned from the COVID pandemic response. The admission signifies that the measures put in place during 2019 and 2023 should be expected to be utilized again, that is lockdowns, masks, and so forth, 6 feet apart, is all evident from the panel discussion. One such measure is a mass vaccination program, he said. The WHO director signaled that all nations should have equitable access to all the shots and not just rich countries who are hoarding them during the COVID. Left unsaid was the African and some Asian countries with low vaccination rates. They fared much better. Their low vaccination rates, they saved more people, COVID cases, hospitalizations, and deaths compared to the countries with high vaccination rates were, you know, unbelievable, because the ones with high vaccination rates had the highest amounts of death. As part of the solution, a universal access to vaccines, said Tedros, the WHO helped 15 countries in geographical regions establish their own production of mRNA vaccines. Another part of the preparations facilitated by the WHO was established by the Pathogen Surveillance System, BioHub system, that's what it's called, BioHub, a type of pandemic intelligence that would presumably help identify pathogens with epidemic and pandemic potential, allowing for the quicker development of vaccines. And this is worth noting that the WHO partners with groups such as the infamous Echo Health Alliance, which was responsible for channeling American funds and technology to the Wuhan Institute of Virology and conduct gain-of-function research on bat coronaviruses that triggered the COVID pandemic. Investigation of these origins is generally shelved by the WHO. Last year, it was quietly shelved. Lastly, all WHO members should sign on to the so-called pandemic agreement in May of 2024, said the WHO director, elaborating that narrow national interests should not come in the way of concerted response to a common enemy. Roy Jacobs, president of CEO, said that, you know, of his Dutch multinational conglomerate Royal Philips, echoed sentiments by criticizing people for becoming overly centric of their interests, which determined and undermined the fair allocation of means and thus hindered the response of the global crisis. Well, Tedros warned, without a shared response, we would face the same problem as we did with COVID, but did not explain the ramifications of the Treaty for National Sovereignty, which would be transferred to the WHO. The WHO would be in control of all countries, which would receive the power to announce a global emergency, a state emergency, and decide on pandemic response measures such as lockdowns, vaccine mandates, use of early treatments and medical protocols, and, you know, determine what's misinformation and what's really truth in vaccine passports and travel business restrictions and distribution of resources. So I'm just telling you, folks, they're getting ready for their next pandemic. Is there's no question about it. You think that first COVID was bad with all the lockdowns in 2002? That was just a warm-up. You wait for what they got coming down the pike real soon. Michael DeMera, chairman of the board of AstraZeneca, opted in that the key to success was twofold. The first element was public-private partnerships facilitated by the World Economic Forum. We partners with academic, with government, with regulators, and third-party commercial contractors. So just think, and all the NGOs, so just think, all the universities are going to be on board with this. And he announced saying that this will be a prerequisite for a worldwide distribution of the vaccines, of which he was proud. Another element included, according to Darme, was a quick action, quick decision making. And he went on to boast about the pandemic and AstraZeneca and blah, blah, blah. So I'm telling you, they're pushing this, and that's what they plan during this whole 2 weeks ago at their Davos meeting. That's what they plan for the next. Is either their next pandemic or getting rid of Donald Trump. Those are the two things they were planning on. Doing anything you can to get rid of Donald Trump and launch that new pandemic. So, to better prepare for the next pandemic, he couldn't say that we can't do enough to focus on improving the health of people. He all for helping the people, but that is just a lie, folks. And I mean, I could go into more and more about what they said, but I think you get my idea. This disease X, the new horror show pandemic, is coming to our country soon and to our world. Hospitals in Denver, Colorado, this past November 2023, have already vaccinated their staff and doctors and nurses with live Ebola, which has a shed rate of 31%, according to whistleblower Dr. Richard Bartlett. It does not take a genius to figure out that disease X is going to be Ebola. It's probably going to come out of Colorado because that's where one of the main labs is. If you're already vaccinating healthcare workers and doctors, mark my words, the first outbreak will be in Colorado. Now remember, Ebola has a 50% kill rate in infected populations, and the individuals with lower immunity have a lesser chance of survival. After 2 weeks, after injection sets in, it takes about 2 weeks for most of the 50% infected to become dead within 2 weeks. If they have any comorbidities, any kind of immunity response, if they're diabetic, if, you know, if they got arthritis, for example, you know, they're toast in 2 weeks, period. So the mainstream media will be pushing this new Ebola vaccine to get right away. And if you don't get it, they will ridicule you. And if you're a master survivor, you will never catch it. But if you get the vaccine, you will have Ebola 100%. If you become a master survivor, you will not have to worry about Ebola. Just don't get the vaccine. Don't have to worry about the shed rate. With that in mind, I wanted to bring back to your attention what I watched about Catherine Watts, and she discusses about the kill box, the legal framework embedded in the militarization of public health and the rollout of bioweapon being marked as a vaccine. It's all being rolled out, and this is a military operation. You know, and I went into detail about all this. I'm going to touch on it right now. Catherine discovered what the WHO international health regulations were stopping the U.S. legal system from stopping this crime against humanity. And the wedge has been to preventing people from accessing the court, which have prevented, and so it's prevented the court from hearing these cases. So if you die from a vaccine injury, you can't take it to court. because it's already set up, so you'll never go to court. They won't hear your plight. There's no suits, no nothing. So this military countermeasures are used during the public health emergency, which is legally akin to the state of war. Such all kinds of emergency powers have been stripped from their normal places, like courts, legislators, and state governments, and are given to the executive branch in the hands of the president and the cabinet secretaries. Well, the creation of this juggernaut was gradual, but bit by bit, piece by piece, suddenly, 2020, when Biden became president, all of it was pulled out and told that they have the authority to do whatever they wanted to do on this health rollout, and we, the people, are inside the kill box of this rollout of the new vaccines. And I'm just telling you, folks, I mean, I can't make my point more clear. I was going to give you more background, but I think you get my point. Hopefully, you'll believe in what I'm saying. Now, I'm trying to convince you to become a master survivor. Why worry about the next pandemic? If you're a master survivor, you'll never get the Ebola from shedding, because as soon as you pick up a little bit, your immunity system will just blow it right off. It'll just compromise it. Why not become a master survivor, Dr. Johnny, and follow the steps of Hippocrates? You've heard some of my patients ask, why do I put so much emphasis on Hippocrates? Well, there are many reasons. Hippocrates is credited by historians with moving the subject of medicine and health away from the previous supernatural and religious approach in Greece, which has been closely linked to the Greek god of healing, Aesculapius, toward a more modern approach of observation, classification, causes, and effects. Others before him had begun to approach medicine in a rational manner, but the details of this life work, however, can be credited with Hippocrates, along with other Greek philosophers during his time, started the beginnings of a scientific approach using empirical findings of what works based on data collected and continued success. This is truly the beginning of the scientific process of testing, or what some people call the scientific method. Just for a quick review, what is the scientific method? Well, I'm going to reveal that after the break, but I want everybody to hear me out. This pandemic that's coming, like I said, it'd make the first pandemic look like a Sunday school class. This is going to be really serious, because a lot of people are going to start dying right away. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to preach fear porn. I'm just trying to give you the facts. They're rolling out this new vaccine. It's got Ebola in it. And they've already vaccinated the Colorado health care people in Denver. They have a lab in Colorado Springs, producing the new Ebola vaccine, okay? This is facts. This is not theory. This is facts. So just know that they're launching this new pandemic. And if you have any core morbidities, any immunity problems at all, it could be just a minor thing, a sniffle, or it could be arthritis, or it could be diabetes or something like that. You pick up that Ebola from shedding from somebody that's already gotten the vax, and two weeks, it's a roll of the dice that you make it past that. But if you're a master survivor, you will make it past that, even if you pick it up from shedding, because you'll get rid of the Ebola as soon as it gets into your body, because your immunity response will be so strong, like I said on so many shows. Herd immunity, in other words, natural immunity, is the best defense. Sweden proved that. Japan proved that. natural immunity is the best defense. It works better than hydroxychloroquine. It works better than, you know, the ivermectin. It works better than all the rest of the cures out there. They help, and that's a good thing. But if you already have natural immunity, you're already a master survivor following Dr. Johnny's program, your natural herd immunity, your strong natural immunity will be so strong that even if you pick up the COVID, even if you pick up the Ebola, your body will fight it right off. You won't be infected. Okay? That's why I want you to become a master survivor. I knew this day would come 20 years ago. 25 years ago, 30 years ago, I knew this day would come. First, I thought they were going to put a chip in us. Well, they're doing that, really, with the vaccine. We don't have to get an implant. They're already doing it with the vaccine because they want to get rid of 90% of the population. That's their goal. But if you want to survive, you become a master survivor. Go to themastersurvivor.com. Or JohnnyDelirious.com or TheMasterSurvivorUniversity.com and scroll down, click on the Master Survivor Program and do number one and number two. Number one is the hair tissue mineral analysis for $226. Number two is a total gut restoration kit for $250. That's to get your gut balanced, and by doing the hair tissue mineral analysis and follow that diet and diet and supplement protocol, you will get all the cells in your body strong. So your immunity response will be stronger than ever, than it can ever be. And you'll fight off the COVID, you'll fight off the Ebola, you'll fight off the SARS, you'll fight it all off because you have herd immunity. That's what I want. That's what it's like being a master survivor. Herd immunity. Just ask my patients. They don't get sick. And I'll bring details about what Hippocrates really started after these messages.
It's no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew.
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
It's
check in every Thursday night for the Crypt Rick and Jonathan Show.
Studio A, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here at the number one listener-supported radio station, Revolution Radio.
The Secret Kindergarten is here for the young children of the world. The best program on the radio for kids, dealing with the most important topics in the whole universe. Fairy tales, music and movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out, up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no. Step on into the Secret Kindergarten. Saturdays, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Right here on Revolution Radio.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's iPhone, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back to Revolution Radio, the best network on the internet. And this is Dr. Johnny, and you're listening to The Master Survivor Beyond PhD. And I was leading up during, right before the break, I was leading up to the background that what made Hippocrates so great and what he did. Because before that, you know, health and medicine or, you know, healthcare is all kind of superstition, you know, shamans and hocus pocus and stuff like that. It really was. But Hippocrates put into place empirical findings of what works based on data collected and continued success. And this was truly the beginning of the scientific process of testing, or what some call the scientific method. So just a quick review of what is the scientific method, and I'll give you the simplified version. First, you ask a question. Now, see, before this, it was all hocus-pocus and smoke and mirrors and superstition and, you know, do some research. But Hippocrates actually put it down to science. So basically he was the founder of the scientific method. But the basic scientific method is, one, you ask a question. The scientific method starts when you ask a question about something that you observe, the how, what, when, who, which, why, and where. Number two, do background research. You know, where's the patient been? What's he ate? You know, rather than starting from scratch and putting together a plan, you know, for answering your question, you will be a savvy scientist using the library, internet, research. But in Hippocrates' time, he, like I said, he'd ask, what'd you eat, where have you been, blah, 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 and help find the best way to do things to ensure you don't make and repeat the same mistakes that you've done in the past. Number three, you construct a hypothesis. A hypothesis is an educated guess on how things work. It is an attempt to answer your question with an explanation that could be tested. A good hypothesis allows you to then make a prediction. If this and this, and we do this and this, then this and this will surely happen. State both your hypothesis and the resulting prediction that you will be testing, and predictions must be easy to measure. So you can test your question for what you've done. And then number four, test your hypothesis by doing an experiment. Your experiment tests whether your prediction is accurate and thus your hypothesis is supported or not. It is important for your experiment to be a fair test. You conduct a fair test by making sure that you change only one factor at a time while keeping all other conditions the same. You should also repeat your experiment several times to make sure that the first results weren't just an accident. So number five, you analyze your data and draw a conclusion. Once your experiment is complete, you conduct and collect your measurements and analyze them to see if they support your hypothesis or not. Scientists often find that their predictions are not accurate and their hypothesis is not supported, and in such cases, they will communicate the results of their experiment and then go back and construct a new hypothesis and prediction based on the information they learned during the first experiment. This starts much of the process of the scientific method over and over again, and other people can check the results. If other people get the same results as you do, then, you communicate your results. That's number six. And even if they find that the hypothesis was supported, they may want to test it again and again, or have their cousin over in Japan or Africa or whatever do the same test. So number six, you communicate your results to complete. You will communicate your results to others in the field and final report like a scientific journal, or by presenting your findings and results on a poster during a talk and during a scientific meeting. So these are the six steps, but once enough people around the world have tried your hypothesis and tried your test and done the experiment and they all reach the same result, then your hypothesis, your theory, becomes scientific law. Okay? Because, for example, if you put baking soda, if you pour vinegar and baking soda, there will always be a reaction every single time. That's scientific law. There is a reaction. What's left is salt and, salty water. That's what's left after you put vinegar and baking soda together. So these six steps were what came out of the Hippocrates thought and how he developed things empirically, finding and developing. And this is, why this is so important to me in the Master Survivor University, and this is why I'm using Hippocrates' work. These six steps are not were not fully developed until the Enlightenment period progressed and into the scientific revolution with great thinkers like René Descartes, Robert Hooke, and Isaac Newton. Without question, the rediscovery of Greek thought spearheaded this revolution. When the works of Aristotle and Hippocrates were reexamined, and their ideals and philosophy was the catalyst and inspiration to launch the scientific method, the foundation of laboratory science today. Yes, it all started with the Greeks, who even in ancient Egypt, it was written that wise sages were the Greeks, and often so that's where everybody studied at Alexandria, the learning center of the ancient world of the Mediterranean. Many breakthroughs were made, but the Greeks did not have chemistry. They did not have the laboratory. I've said that dozens of times. If the Greeks knew chemistry, Hippocrates would be working with the data of minerals found in the HTMA, the hair tissue mineral analysis, because from the relationship of the minerals from that report, we can learn so much about what the body's doing and which foods you need to heal. That's why it's so important becoming a master survivor. You'll get your immunity strength really strong, and when that happens, you don't have to worry about the pandemic. You don't have to worry about the shedding. But believe me, they're going full throttle with this pandemic. And I'll reiterate what Catherine Watt discussed with the Department of Defense, where she revealed the vax kill box with the legal framework that enabled the militarization of public health and the rollout of a bioweapon being marketed as a vaccine. This is all from the Department of Defense, mainly DARPA, okay? And we are, the most of the human population in America and in the world, we are in the kill box. So what that means is, just listen up if you want to know what that means. Catherine discovered that the World Economic World Health Organization, International Health Regulations, the IHR, International Health Regulations, were stopping the U.S. legal system from stopping this crime against humanity. The IHR, the International Health Regulations, are the wedge that has been preventing people from accessing the courts, which have been preventing the courts from hearing these cases in case somebody's wrongfully injured by a vaccine. The IHR, the International Health Regulations, have been the key to wedging this world war in a covert manner via the militarization of public health and the merger of public health apparatus with the military apparatus that made the COVID vaccine into a military operation. This is fact, folks. I'm telling you, this is fact. Any people that have been in the military should really listen up, because we are now in the kill box. Military countermeasures are used during the public health emergency, which is legally akin to the state of war, such that all kinds of emergency powers get stripped from the normal places like courts, legislators, and state governments, and are given to the executive branch, the presidency, into the hands of the president and the cabinet secretaries, that's i.e. Joe Biden. The creation of this juggernaut was gradual and built piece by piece, when suddenly in January 2020, it was all pulled out and we were told that they had the authority to do what they proceeded to do. All of the biggest benefits to the malefactors, as well as the biggest obstacles to truth movement, is the inability or the unwillingness of people to fathom the evil that has overtaken their institutions. So anybody starts speaking the truth, you know, they will get blacklisted. They will get, you know, haunted. They will get snitched on. This has been going on for centuries in one way or another. It's basically globalist central bankers and lots of related organizations trying to get complete control of human beings through banking programs with the military programs, and they kicked it all into high gear in 1913 with the Federal Reserve Act, and then they kicked the public health aspect of it into high gear starting in the 1930s and 1940s. Before the 1960s, they mostly did it through orchestrated armed conflicts and financial depressions and wars, which are very loud and messy and destructive to infrastructure, and it makes it difficult for them to have plausible deniability and have impunity for what they've been doing. So, in the mid-1960s, they got much better at inducing suicide and homicide by fraudulently labeling poisons as medicine or vaccines or as prophylactics, you know, and telling people that submitting to the poisoning process, that's the vaccine and the medicines, was their civic duty. We saw that in the COVID pandemic with the shorthand for do this or you're going to kill your grandma. Oh, yeah. That was what was being said. It didn't happen that long ago. Some of you should be able to remember that. And the way that the pharmaceutical method is useful to them is primarily that plausible deniability is much easier and illegal impunity is a lot easier. They can achieve the same goals of killing lots of people without their fingerprints being all over it. U.S. Congress passed a law in 1969 to set up the Chemical and Biological Program. And in that law, which is 50 U.S.C. Chapter 32, there are very important key terms, including protective, prophylactic, and defensive, which is how they justified doing it by claiming that they're not going to do biological research and weapons except for protective or prophylactic or for defensive purposes, which is a false characterization because all biological active products are intrinsically aggressive and toxic and lethal. All pharmaceutical products are toxic to one degree or the other. Some are lethal, some are not, but over time you get sicker. The World Health Organization's pretext for having the authority to declare a public health emergency of international concern is to protect international trade from disruptions caused by disease outbreaks, but it is actually a legal system for transferring sovereignty from the nation state to the World Health Organization and to the Bank for International Settlements, which happens automatically when a public health emergency of international concern is declared. Okay? And that's exactly what they were talking about at Davos 2 weeks ago, about announcing this disease X, a public health emergency of international concern, will be declared with disease X. We don't know what the disease is yet. We just have a placeholder for whatever it is. We're just calling disease X because they are launching it. But Dr. Johnny's here to tell you right now it's going to be Ebola, okay, which is deadly. I can't stress that too much. However, the White Hats aren't resting on their laurels. They're not sitting on their hands. On Thursday, January 18th, my Judge Advocate General Corp source in Pensacola, Florida, revealed that JAG and Army CID investigators have arrested nearly 100 media criminals in the last 2 months. However, the incarcerated are not the glamorized, limelight-hogging faces and figures that we see each day on the TV, but a collective thirst for disinformation, you know, that people, you know, people think, oh, Rachel Maddow or Anderson Cooper, Robert Costas, or whatever. Well, they'll be arrested too, but instead, they make up, you know, these behind the scenes. What makes them great? Who does all their writing? Who does all Rachel's writing? Who does all Anderson's writing? You know, they arrested this equally dangerous elk, the behind-the-scenes curators and custodians who decide what is shown on the air and published on the internet and in the white papers and what Rachel's going to say, what Anderson Cooper's going to report on. Behind each popular name or face on TV or in the journal that you follow, there lurks an irredeemable gatekeepers that distill an output into digestible sound bites and sanitize content to fit a station or a publication's slanted agenda. Sight unseen, these kettles of ravenous vultures will include anyone from has-been fact-checkers to opinion editors, from external consultants to top-floor management, huddle in conference rooms and cafeterias where they select which stories are to air with a wanton disregard for the truth. They are the driving force and the seemingly unbreakable bulwark that sell easily disapproval propaganda to naive, malleable, sleeping masses in the audiences in the sheeple. While Anderson Cooper recites and expounds on a headline, he glares at the teleprompter whose scrolling text someone else has authored, like most newscasters do. A research team in his case, in Anderson Cooper's case, he has 16 staffers and interns who share his political bias and an editorial board rigorously editing his spoken words. He, of course, is equally as guilty if he didn't sell the station and the Biden regime's falsehoods, there would be no buyers. He is more than an actor. He's a co-conspirator, as are his hirelings under him. Now, just for the record, Dr. Johnny has a bachelor's degree in communications journalism from the University of West Florida in Pensacola, graduated on that degree. I have several bachelors, but that one I finished in 1996 in Pensacola, Florida. I had a minor in politics, and I majored in speech and journalism was my communication journalism was my major. But I can also tell you that my source that I did a stint with during those university days also, you know, is working. I've got a couple of them working in MSM, and then one or two have went ahead and joined JAG because, you know, they needed communications too, becoming lawyers. So that was an interesting time for me in Pensacola, Florida. And one of my sources, having done a stint with what I would call loosely mainstream media daily papers decades ago, along with myself, have witnessed acts of impropriety and the callous atmosphere circulating around through those smoke-filled editorial rooms in those earlier years. And I've seen solid stories shelved or reduced to page 23 in a big paper, or placed with fiction. I've also heard examples of favoritism, nepotism, and hearty recompense for gently gilling with any agenda that they say to preach this agenda or that agenda. You know, this is your narrative today. Unless one is part of the problem, these dens of disquiet aren't lovely places to visit. Fortunately, I didn't work in those, but I had friends that did that graduated with me in 1996. My source said JAG draws no distinction between hardliners and hacks, are equally guilty in JAG's eyes, provided the staff judge advocate can link them to irrefutable and verifiable crimes. He expanded. He says, understand clearly, this is one of my classmates from back in 1996. He now works in JAG as a paralegal. Okay, but he said, understand clearly, no one here is criminalizing opinion or looking to infringe on the First Amendment. Let's take, for example, the other day, five or six news outlets, including the Fallen from Grace Drudge Report, ran articles about President Trump having cuts or sores on his hand. Some of them wildly speculated just to stir stuff up, things like Trump has syphilis, etc. This is not just silly, but it's absurd and clickbait nonsense, and obviously not a crime. On the other hand, take the Arizona voting machines. We have evidence they were tampered with. So does President Trump. And we recently apprehended the MSNBC editor who continually wrote stories that the machines were infallible and they're perfect, all working perfectly fine, and that Donald Trump was still making up tales of election fraud. That in and of itself doesn't mean a definition of a punishable crime. But when we can prove that editor was paid by the manufacturer of the voting machines, or he was paid by Big Pharma, and by the people challenging President Trump's side of the story, well, that is bribery. And bribery constitutes a crime. Both the offerer and the recipient can be criminally charged. What's more, that bribery influenced an election outcome, and that broadly fits the definition of election interference, conspiracy to defraud the United States, and in certain cases, treason. He continues, so it's not like we're randomly picking up people that don't like Trump. He continued, and he said, we're working on actionable evidence that is against the United States, against, hardworking people, because the vaccines are a crime, he said. People are getting killed. It is a weapon. He added that JAG and CID's evidence led to 94 arrests in December and January, and these arrests reportedly include employees at MSNBC, CBS, ABC, CNBC, BBC, Vice News, Telemundo, and even the Weather Channel, and employees at the New York Times and the Washington Post, the Boston Globe, and the Denver Post. He also named the New Yorker, Harper's, and Atlantic. The list is big. He says, I just gave you a few of them, he said. And in each case, JAG discovered acts of financial impropriety where they're paid to keep lying for the pharmaceutical companies, for the people who manufactured the voting machines, for other deep staters. They were getting paid. And that is robbery. That is a crime. Plus, it put people in harm's way, the public, unbeknownst to them, he said, the sleeping sheeple are just following what they're told, and then some of them die because of it when they didn't have to. He said, they're just innocent people, and they're just following what they're told, and they're thinking they're doing the right thing. When we hear about a copy editor making $40,000 a year, and living paycheck to paycheck, and then suddenly buying a $2 million home and a $150,000 sports car and a yacht. Well, that raises questions, he said. These deep stater adherents love flaunting money, he said. The news sector, he added, has found a convenient and believable way of explaining away disappearing staff, layoffs, etc., because you hear all these news agencies and media people talking about layoffs. Well, a lot of them are at Gitmo, a lot of them are at Guam and Camp Bloss. Some of them are at Targo de Frago down in Patagonia. In recent months, dozens of news outlets nationwide have announced or executed job cuts, citing a decline in advertising and, subscription revenue and lost viewership. And well, that's true. Nobody wants to pay advertising because they're not getting the viewership. Nobody wants to listen to CNN anymore. I mean, Tucker Carlson gets 10 times more viewers and listeners on any show he gets than CNN. Not that he's so great, but I'm just saying a lot of people think he is. And they'd rather listen to him than CNN. You know, so even though this loss of revenue and, you know, viewership and advertising, that's partly true. More Americans are eschewing that the fabricated mainstream media is in favor of, and more in favor, they're not listening to the mainstream media anymore. They're more in favor of the alternative media, like Tucker Carlson, for example, than they are for liberal news outlets like the Washington Post, owned by the third wealthiest person on the planet. And they aren't hurting for money. None of these places are hurting for money. And although not all the papers have a Bezos benefactor, even small town rags such as California's Sacramento Bee, recent regular endowments from George Soros, whose limitless coffers fund and bribe left-wing media. "It's a circle," he said. "These media criminals made Joe Biden their president, and he, or whoever's playing him on stage, in turn, empowers them. When I asked about the value of targeting the unrecognizable," he said, "look, you see, you know, Anderson Cooper, you see Rachel Maddow on the Idiot Box, so you're thinking, get them, because it's their mugs that you're after. And yes, they will be gotten, but right now they're playing the part on this bigger picture. And while their underlings are being dismantled from bottom to top, this is all in necessary order," he said. And I just, you know, he likes my show. And a lot of the military people listen to my show. And they say, "keep doing your work, Dr. Shiny, but don't talk about this." But then toward the end of December, they say, "oh, go ahead, let them have it. All that stuff we said keep secret, go ahead, tell them all." You know, so I said, "okay, fine." Because they know I bring out the facts. I don't embellish it. I don't enhance it. I report it just as it is, the facts, nothing more, nothing less. And one of my students sent me a documentary by David Webb, and I appreciate this from her. It's called The Great Taking. It's not only a video, but also a free PDF download called The Great Taking. And I took some notes. According to Webb, there is a sleight of hand that's been implemented over the decades. And I'm talking about the financial sector, okay? A sleight of hand has been implicated over the decades to subvert property rights through securities and allow collateral, stocks and bonds, to be taken on a large-scale basis globally. So for 400 years, securities were personal property, and this has now been subverted, has now been replaced with a new legal concept of what they call security entitlement. And I quote from what he said, "and what that has done is to convert the property right into a contractual claim, which gives it a very weak position in the event of insolvency and in the event of bankruptcy. Then the bank can just take it. And then things that were not property, things that were contractual claims, derivative instruments, which are contracts that would not have had a strong position in bankruptcy, the secured creditors behind these derivative contracts could have been a short priority claim or implemented a short super priority claim to the underlying collateral. And it's very sophisticated subterfuge that has been put in place. This began in the 1960s with steps to dematerialize securities, to do away with proper and paper securities, you know, stocks and bonds on paper, that was a precondition for severing the property rights. You had to have that paperwork. You had to have those legal documents. But then the securities entitlement was created, and this concept was created in 1994 and implemented into the Uniform Commercial Code in the United States in all 50 states. It took some time for that to be put into state law in all 50 states, and what this does, we know about this irrefutably through the response the Federal Reserve gave to something called the Legal Certainty Group, which is operating in Europe. This Legal Certainty Group. So this structure was first put in place in the U.S., and then Europe was pressured to conform to this. This was happening essentially after the dot-com bust. This essentially is legal theft, which Dr. Johnny is all too familiar with when Bank of America stole my house that went into foreclosure. I didn't want it to go into foreclosure. I tried to dispute that. But I had that foreclosure dispute. Of course, hey, they're Bank of America. I lost. So they put it into foreclosure, and by putting my house into foreclosure, that meant they had rights to my house since they had the title. However, Bank of America is one of the big four. The other three are J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and Citibank. Once you get into the legal system and try to keep what is yours, you find out real quick that any of the big four, if they're a part of this protection class of banks, see, if they want something, they just take it, like they took my house. In other words, they can do anything they want, and they wanted my house, and they took it. And after watching the great taking, big banks and other financial institutions are doing the same thing to others that they did to Dr. Johnny, and they're doing this on a global basis. Bottom line, white-collar bank theft is happening on a grand scale worldwide. Right now in Bank of America, people aren't getting all their deposits back. I hear reports about it all over. Not all Bank of America's, because they're all over the nation. There are a lot of branches of Bank of America. They're everywhere. But some of them that have big accounts can't get all their money. And they say, well, that's a pending transaction. Come back tomorrow. And weeks go by. So what's their next move? Is it launching FedCoin, a central bank digital currency? If they get everyone to go digital, they can steal your deposits whenever they want. If you're digital, they'll just take it right out of your account. They'll just switch the numbers in their computer. But Donald Trump says that if he's elected president, there will never be a central bank digital currency, at least for the first couple of years. Maybe later on, when everything's gold-backed and we have our new currency, you can have cash, or you can have digital, or you can have, you know, on a card, any way you want. But could this be the reason they're wanting to eliminate Trump? By all means possible. He says he will never have central bank digital currency. He will never have FedCoin. Not under my watch. First day of office, it's not going to happen. We all know there are more reasons than that they want to get rid of him, but for now, let's just stick with this one and hear from a recent interview what legendary financial and geopolitical cycle analyst Martin Armstrong has to say. Just for the record, he has correctly predicted every presidential race since the early 1980s with his Socrates data mining program. According to Armstrong, the 2024 race featuring Donald J. Trump is shaping up to be the most lopsided race for the White House in history. Armstrong explains Trump should win. This data has even shocked me, Armstrong says. He has been right on every election, even the Brexit. He is basically showing out of six models on his computer Socrates data mining program, showing absolute unbelievable landslides. It's showing 61% for Trump. The computer has never come up before with this big a gap. In 2016, he showed that Trump would win, but not overwhelmingly, but this one is absolutely stunning how big the gap is. It's at least 61% will vote for Trump. Many say that they can stop Trump by cheating more than in 2020. Armstrong is seeing that the margins are so big that they cannot even cheat their way out to fill the gap. Armstrong contends that there's the way this is shaping up, he says, if you look at the polls on the confidence in government, even Europe is way down, only 30% of people trust the government anymore. We are looking at the serious collapse in confidence of government at every level that we look at. Our computer model also shows that this election is not going to be accepted by the other side. In other words, the Democrats. Honestly, I have never seen our computer project in such a landslide. The Biden administration, in all honesty, is a complete disaster. Armstrong says that interest rates are going to continue to age up along with the federal debt. Armstrong points out, if you pay attention, the federal head, Jeremy Powell, coming out in the beginning of December, and he actually said the spending is unsustainable. The Federal Reserve does not criticize current administration for him to say this. You know it's getting bad. This says the Fed knows we have a problem here. As high rates go, the more unstable the banks become. We are in a sovereign debt crisis now, he said. How will they pay it all back? Armstrong says, I think they will deliberately start a war and as a way to get out of the debt crisis like they've always done before. I think they will refuse to pay all the debt that China holds, and that's it. Any enemy that holds U.S. debt, they are simply not going to pay it. Armstrong says that there is a plan to run Michelle Obama in place of Joe Biden for presidency. You watch Joe Biden step out at the last minute. And again, Armstrong says he's not just going to stop at a Trump landslide. That's not going to stop a Trump landslide. There's also talk of the UN and the WHO taking control of the world in the next medical crisis or pandemic. Armstrong's computers do not see that working out either. Armstrong does see a peak in global disease and sickness in 2026. Armstrong points out that this could be a combination of nearly 14 billion global COVID-19 vax injections with some new disease unleashed on the public. Armstrong also sees a deep state that is so desperate to beat Trump and eliminate him in any way, it will start a war in August or September just before the November election. Armstrong says that the deep state is so evil that even if Trump does win, they will get him involved in the war and it will not be easy for him to walk our way back out of it. Armstrong says the biggest fear his global clients have is World War III getting started before Trump can get back in office. Well, Dr. Johnny says the future is always changing and no one knows what's completely happening, but him saying that Trump will win, he's probably right. He's probably right. But him also saying that more than, 14 million more will die you know, and it could be, you know, just from COVID vax injections coming on, or just new disease being unleashed. Just know that if you have your immunity strong, you won't get the COVID. You won't get the Ebola. And how do you do that? Well, you become a master survivor. And it starts out by going to themastersurvivor.com and scrolling down to number one, the HTMA. When using the HTMA, we've often asked about the connection. So many people ask me, what's the connection between minerals and hormones? And one common question is, if minerals are affected by hormones, then minerals can turn off the effect of hormone levels. Is that true? And I said, yes. Hormones influence the level of minerals, and the minerals level of minerals affect hormones. So blood, urine, and other tissues throughout the body due to their impact on mineral absorption, excretion, and distribution, redistribution, and translocation in various cellular and tissue compartments, they determine how your hormones are going to react. So if your minerals are balanced, your hormones will be balanced too. Minerals can impact hormones by stimulating endocrine secretions activity, cellular transport, and tissue binding sites or cellular receptors. So the relationship between iodine and thyroid is well known. Iodine is a mineral, and thyroid produces hormones and is required for thyroid hormone synthesis. But, you know, we need that iodine, but many other mineral hormone relationships exist. A double-blind longitudinal study of women suffering from premenstrual syndrome, PMS, was reported by researchers in Johns Hopkins system. They found that significant improvement of PMS system symptoms in women who took nutritional supplements compared to those who took no supplements, they had less symptoms and more mild PMS. Another study in Baylor Medical College in Waco, Texas, just 2 hours away from where Dr. Johnny is, found that women have an abnormally low zinc level during their symptomatic premenstrual phase. See, that can make it more uncomfortable for the women if they have low zinc levels. Their study suggests that since zinc is necessary for the production and secretion of progesterone, and too little zinc causes a reduction of progesterone during PMS and thereby altering brain chemistry such as endorphin production, then the HTMA has also shown a zinc deficiency in those situations, as well as children of short stature, and is also correlated with low zinc blood analysis, not just the hair analysis, but also the blood analysis. And those children were supplemented with oral zinc therapy, and their growth rate improved, and they increased their testosterone, and they grew, and growth hormone and somatotropin C levels increased. Hair and blood zinc levels also increase as well. Needless to say, other nutritional hormone relationships exist, such as vitamin D and parathyroid activity. And vitamin D is a hormone, folks. It's actually a hormone. And I've been working with microbiome laboratories, and we know from studies that the true vitamin D comes from a balanced microbiome in the gut. So getting cod liver oil is one good source of vitamin D that's natural. I don't suggest the supplemental source. Get a cod liver oil as well as vitamin A. But if you have a balanced microbiome, your microbiome will make the vitamin D that's needed. And that is truly a blessing. So, the full Master Survivor program is both the hair tissue mineral analysis and doing that total gut restoration kit. So even if you don't do the full total gut restoration kit, at least get from the microbiome laboratories number two in my Master Survivor program. Number one is hair tissue mineral analysis. Number two, you can scroll down, click on number two, register as my patient, and order the Megaspore Biotic. And start on that. If you don't do the full total gut restoration kit, then at least get the Megasporebiotics to start getting your microbiome balanced again so you'll make that natural vitamin D and keep your herd and natural immunity strong. 50% of your immunity is based on how good and how balanced your microbiome and your gut is. 50%, even doctors say 50% of your immunity comes from a balanced gut and microbiome. So the HCMA shows the important relationship between minerals in your body. So minerals like copper, selenium for the thyroid, and chromium, zinc, and magnesium, and you know, for insulin, and pantothenic acid for the adrenal functions, and riboflavin is known to affect the release of ACTH is from the pituitary gland, which is our governing hormone, governing gland. Iron with sufficient amount of copper is required for the synthesis of epinephrine and neoepinephrine. With the HCMA data, we're able to find the right foods to keep a sound mineral activity without the proper balance without the proper balance of minerals and, the right hormone levels will never be realized. It's just that simple, folks. So I'm telling you, I can go on and on about the value of the hair tissue mineral analysis. I can go on and on about the value of the total gut restoration kit. These are the two things that you need to become a master survivor. It's less than $600. So go to themastersurvivor.com. TheMasterSurvivorUniversity.com, JohnnyDelirious.com. It all takes you to the same place. Scroll down. You can click on the Master Survivor Program and start with number one, hair tissue mineral analysis. Number two, the total gut restoration kit. You can buy them with your credit card right there on the website. Just follow the directions. Number three is the premium consultation with Dr. Johnny, where Dr. Johnny works with you for 2 years to become a master survivor and get over any illness or any setback that you have. And, of course, you pay me for that. I work with you 2 years. You pay me $360 for that. And you work one-on-one with Dr. Johnny. You know, so one, two, and three is the complete Master Survivor Program with premium consultation. Master Survivor Program, premium consultation. It doesn't get any better than that. It is the most reliable, natural way to restore your immunity response. The most natural way to not ever get sick again. It is the most natural way to balance all the minerals in your cells. And what does that provide? When all your cells are balanced, all your systems become balanced. Your, you know, circulatory system, your digestive system, your, you know, and that's balanced. What? From what? The hair tissue mineral analysis balances the cells, and the digestive system is balanced from the total gut restoration kit number two in the Master Survivor Program. Those two things are what makes the Master Survivor Program. I knew this day was coming 30 years ago, over 30 years ago, because when I was still working in the lab in the late 1980s, I said, my God, they're going to pull this this where they're going to chip everybody and make everybody get a vaccine, and then that's how they're going to kill everybody off. See, we're in the kill box right now. This is a military operation, the deep state dark military operation. It's called DARPA out of the Pentagon, okay? And these vaccines are a bioweapon. This is not theory. This is not conspiracy. This is truth. Where so many whistleblowers have revealed this, and my white hat military has revealed this too. They're arresting the people, CEOs of these vaccine companies. They're arresting the people that push the vax. They're arresting people that lie that the voting machines are accurate. Because all those people that are reporting that and saying that and pushing that are all being paid under the table from, you know, whether it's our taxpayer dollars or George Soros, it doesn't matter. It's all coming from the deep state crime syndicate. So it's really time to become a master survivor. If you become a master survivor, guess what? You will survive. Otherwise, guess what? According to Martin Armstrong, he's never been wrong with his statistics. He's been right on every election since the 1980s. He's been right on many, many things, including Brexit. He says that by 2026, he sees a peak of this global disease. Armstrong points out this could be a combination of both the old COVID vaccines and the new pandemic, but he's predicting that nearly 14 billion global COVID-19 vax injections will be made, you know, by that time, and it could be upwards of up to a billion or 2 billion people, unless the White Hats come to the rescue and people don't get the vaccines, unless people become a master survivor, and then they don't have to worry about ever getting sick again. That's what it takes, folks. Why not? Less than $600 becoming a master survivor and not ever getting sick again. Ask any of my patients. That is a fact. So what are you waiting for? Go to themastersurvivor.com. Scroll down and click on the Master Survivor Program. Get your credit card out. And get number one, the hair tissue mineral analysis. Send me some hair and send a check for $226 to Dr. Johnny. I'll run your hair. I'll send you the test. And we will go over your chemistry and your roadmap to freedom and good health. Have a good week, everybody. Dr. Johnny, over and out.
Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart. But you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Rest! You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Friday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen learn a broad spectrum of law, spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers